it, help prevent it, obviously, and then treat the people that actually have found. Stay tuned on Courtside Radio. We'll be right back.
Some look up to the Man of Steel and others follow lines in the web. But I look up to my real life icon, my dad. And calling him anything less than great would be misguided. In his warm arms, I confided all of my fears. And as my time to rear others grows near, I'm reminded that women marry men just like their fathers. And I hope that's true. Anything less, might as well not even bother.
A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative, the Ad Council, and this radio station. Visit fatherhood.org for more information. Have you been a dad today?
All right, let me ask you a legal question. How many lawyers do you know? How many lawyers do you trust? When you get in trouble or don't know the answer to a legal question, who do you call? Well, now you have a network of lawyers you can call right now at 800-7100-LAW. Hi, I'm Scott Weinberg, host of Courtside Radio. Any legal question you have deserves an honest answer. A lawyer you can trust. Don't just settle for anything less. Whatever legal question, text the word advice to 313131 or call 800-7100-LAW. If I can't answer the question, I'll make sure one of my lawyers will. Guaranteed. Text the word advice to 313131 or call 800-7100-LAW. That number again is 800-7100-LAW or text advice to 313131. Get the justice you deserve.
Are drugs affecting your family or a friend? Call Narcanon, 1-800-468-6933. Narcanon provides free assessment and referral services. Call Narcanon at 1-800-468-6933 or visit our website at stopaddiction.com.
Let's rejoin the Courtside Radio Show with your host, Attorney Scott Weinberg.
We're here with Angela Austinberg, CEO of Vista Maria, and we're talking about how to protect not just our boys and girls, but protect them once they actually get back into society after problems and how we make them recover. But, you know, I know Vista Maria, I know you were involved with Angela with human trafficking in this state. Tell us about what that means, human trafficking.
Yes, we were talking earlier about those that suffer from post-traumatic stress from victimization, sexual exploitation. And what a lot of folks in Michigan don't know is that it is ever-growing in the state of Michigan, victims, adolescent victims of human trafficking. And it starts with internet-based ads of adolescents. And Michigan is thought to be, the estimates are, one of the top four locations throughout the United States.
So top four locations for them to actually get the kids or for the kids to end up here?
It's actually recruited as well as activity going on in the state. And what's a little bit different about these victims is they're called compliant victims. I mentioned earlier it starts very innocently, and the young person doesn't even know that they're being entrapped into a life of trafficking.
How old are these kids when they, the youngest you're saying that get trafficked in?
We know that we've seen as young as age 11, and it goes up from there. And it also is young boys, unfortunately, too. And the average is right around about 14, where we're identifying and pulling these victims out and then trying to treat and restore them.
And do you find them here? Are these something where they get caught somewhere out of the country once they're shipped out? Or is it something where you end up finding them in some type of, what is it, a sex slave or some type of organization here that's using them?
No, in Michigan, we are, unfortunately, again, we're in the top four for hotel, motel, and apartment-based sex trafficking activity.
Why Michigan? I mean, what's so attractive about Michigan to have that here?
I'm not sure about that. I do know, though, that in Michigan, what we are finding is the entrapment of kids that are part of the foster care system. They tend to be easier targets. They tend to be truant from school. They tend to be on the streets running away from whatever their situations are. And they are easily enticed into this life by friendship and gifts. And some of these young girls will call their trafficker their boyfriend.
And they're obviously older, these boyfriends. They're They're adults, right? They're not other teens that are getting these girls involved, are they?
No, but we do know in some cases they are sending in the older girls who have been, former foster care children, and to recruit others. That's the other very unusual event that we're starting to find out more and more about girls going in to recruit younger girls.
Well,
which, again, not being threatened or enticed, to do that.
What kind of advice do you have for parents or for these guardians to try and guard their kids and their girls and boys from these organizations, or at least not even an organization, just an individual, from taking control of their life?
Well, first of all, I know we need to give our teenagers some freedom, but you need to keep them on the straight about strangers that come up to them in malls and around bus stops and when they're, hanging outside the gas station and with their buying soft drinks and things, snacks after schools, because those are the places that we seem to find that where the kids are hanging out, they're starting to be targeted and talked to and then enticed. So, and if there is that a older person, female or male, that is enticing and giving gifts, that is a really bad sign.
And it's one of the things that we were talking earlier with our producer, Denny, too, about the situation a neighbor can be in a relationship with this Castro guy, never know anything about it, never really inquire any weird things going on in the house. And one of the things is having just the neighbor or a citizen be observant, and if they see anything, to not be worried about bringing it up. But we are. I mean, we are, we'll see something happen and we don't necessarily bring it up with the authorities because we either don't want to get involved, which is pretty typical of a neighbor here. They're like, it's none of my business. Or we see some kids at a snack shop or something like that. And I mean, we're not really looking for, is there some unusual activity happening? I mean, it's a very difficult situation.
Yes, I think that most folks think that it's not here. They think that it's, trafficking is kids getting kidnapped from overseas or...
Right. Like the movie Taken. You think that, your kid goes to Europe and it's going to be some scary event.
Exactly. And it is much more subtle than that. So then you should, if you see something, if your gut tells you that it seems unusual, I'm encouraging you to report it. Awareness is our first big step in Michigan, and changing the laws in the state is our next big mission.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us from Vista Maria, Angela. If they want to get in touch with you or find out more about Vista Maria, where can they go?
Yes, they can go to our website at www.vistamaria.org to find out more, or they're always welcome to give us a call at 313-271-3050. We're always looking for folks to help us with our mission as volunteers or as donations. So it's been great to be on today.
Well, thanks a lot for joining us, Angela Ostenberg from Vista Maria, the CEO, and she does wonderful work there. So hopefully you guys, if you have any questions, you can always go to their website. When we come back from the break, we're going to get back into Detroit, and we're going to talk about what is going on with the community of Detroit. We're going to hear from, and we're going to talk to Mike Duggan and see it. There's a lot of crime going on in Detroit, too. Can he help us out with it? Is he the turnaround specialist that Detroit needs? We'll find out when we come back on Courtside Radio. Be right back.
I started using drugs and alcohol when I was about 12 years old. I was bored and I thought drugs would be exciting.
I started doing drugs because I was shy. I wanted to fit in.
I thought using drugs was a good way of dealing with stress.
My parents must have told me a million times,
don't do drugs, they'll ruin your life.
Now I know what they all meant.
People often begin using drugs as a solution to a problem. Eventually, the drug use itself becomes a much greater problem. Call Narcanon Arrowhead today at 1-800-468-6933.
All right, let me ask you a legal question. How many lawyers do you know? How many lawyers do you trust? When you get in trouble or don't know the answer to a legal question, who do you call? Well, now you have a network of lawyers you can call right now at 800-7100-LAW. I am Scott Weinberg, host of Courtside Radio. Any legal question you have deserves an honest answer. A lawyer you can trust. Don't just settle for anything less. Whatever legal question, text the word ADVICE to 313131 or call 800-7100-LAW. If I can't answer the question, I'll make sure one of my lawyers will. Guaranteed. Text the word ADVICE to 313131 or call 800-7100-LAW. That number again is 800-7100-LAW. Or text ADVICE to 313131. Get the justice you deserve.
Some look up to the Man of Steel and others follow the lines in the web. But I look up to my real life icon, my dad. And calling him anything less than great would be misguided. In his warm arms, I confided all of my fears. And as my time to rear others grows near, I'm reminded that women marry men just like their fathers. And I hope that's true. Anything less, might as well not even bother.
A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative, the Ad Council, and this radio station. Visit fatherhood.org for more information. Have you been a dad today?
Let's rejoin the Courtside Radio Show with your host, Attorney Scott Weinberg.
We're back here now with Mike Duggan. Now, Mike is a graduate of University of Michigan Law School. Go Blue. You know him better as the former CEO of DMC and also Wayne County Prosecutor's Office, and now wants to be your next mayor of Detroit. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hey, thanks for having me, Scott.
You know, Mike, we're all sitting here, of course. We don't know what's going on with the city, and we hear things going crazy with the financial manager all the time. And as you know, Detroiters are hopeful, but they're scared. And because they really want someone to come in and they want to be able to make a difference in Detroit, not like the past administrations, but something new. What are you providing? What are you going to provide for Detroit?
Well, hopefully, I'll do the same thing that I've been able to do at the county and at the smart bus system at the DMC, which is to recruit the kind of talent you need to do a turnaround. And there is a lot of talent in this city.
And that's really what you are known for now, is a turnaround specialist. I mean, coming into what you did at the DMC was a great job, but it wasn't just firing people. And that's what you hear about these turnaround specialists, and they let so many people go. And that's what we don't want to see in the city.
Well, you have different people take different approaches. And, some come in and do cost cutting, some come in and build revenue, and some do a combination of both. And every place I've been, we've done a combination of both. But DMC, before I got there, had laid off 4,000 people. I lost $500 million in the previous 5 years. And we made a commitment to improve service, getting people seen by a doctor in 29 minutes, dealing with people politely, bringing in first-class specialists. And, we made money 9 years in a row. We grew the business 9 years in a row because we created an environment the patients and doctors wanted to come back to. And I think it's been a long time since the city of Detroit has embraced a culture of delivering good service to the taxpayers. And I think we can deliver more service, and I think we can do it more efficiently.
You know, and one of the things that it's got to be number one in my mind is living in the suburbs, is knowing that when we go down to Detroit, we're safe. And if that's me coming from Oakland County, let's say, it's got to be for residents of Detroit that they've got to be able to walk down their street and feel a sense of safe community. And that is one of the things that I don't think they've done in the past.
Well, there's no question about it. You just saw a national survey that said Detroit has the three most dangerous neighborhoods in the nation, and particularly in the last few years. The crime problem has completely gotten away. And when you have four police chiefs in 4 years, you've got no leadership and no strategy. But we're going to go back to what we were doing when I was the prosecutor, and we worked as a team with the U.S. Attorney, the ATF, the DEA, and the Detroit Police. We went after every gun crime aggressively and delivered a message that if you committed a crime with a gun in the city, you were going to prison for 2 to 5 years. And we drove the number of murders down to the lowest they'd been in 30 years. And I think we can do a much more effective job of keeping police officers on the street, and even with the resources that we have.
I was going to say, of course, with the lack of money to hire new police officers, how do we do that?
Well, every place I've been, I've heard lack of money, and good management can find solutions. And, we still have officers in precincts doing jobs that can be done by civilians at half the price. We need to make sure that every trained law enforcement officer possible is on the street. And then when they are on the street, you've got just basic problems. When the computer in the patrol car doesn't work, as it doesn't work in so many cases, when you arrest somebody, instead of having one of the officers type the report in as you drive back, when the computer doesn't work, you got to park the car, go into the station, take the prisoner in, type up the report in the station, and if you've only got two cars out in a particular sector, one of them can be down for a couple of hours doing a report. So you got a lot of things that good management, I think, can improve. And that's what people want. They want to know the police are going to show up when they call.
You know, I heard you talking about the resources, but using even just the fire department to put out fires in abandoned buildings, it's just not that you don't want to put it out, but you don't want to have those buildings in the first place.
And that's right. And 70% of the fires in the city are fires in vacant buildings. And of course,
that's crazy. That is a crazy statistic.
It is unbelievable. And of course, you have to address them, because we've had too many times in the city where a fire has spread from a vacant building to an occupied building, and we've even had people killed in neighboring houses. But the fact that we don't take a step back at the start of the year and say, look, we're going to get these buildings dealt with once and for all. Let's take the sound structural buildings and get people to move into them, as I did when I was in the prosecutor's office, and let's take those that are run down and once and for all clean them out. Because we're wasting way too much money running firefighters out to put out fires in vacant buildings.
We're talking to Mike Duggan, who's trying to be your next mayor of Detroit. You know, one of the things that we started off with is the issue of bringing people to want to live in the city, too. And, you know, I've got a young daughter who's graduating college now, and she's coming back home. How do we get the young people, like they did in Chicago and Cleveland and other cities like Indianapolis that have revitalized their downtown area, how do we get these young people graduating schools and coming to want to live downtown in Detroit?
Well, we're seeing that happen in amazing numbers in both the downtown and midtown. And certainly what Dan Gilbert has done and what Blue Cross has done and what CompuWare has done has created a lot of job opportunities in this next generation. Is not as enamored with the suburban lifestyle, with the minivans. I think many are seeking the urban setting. The problem is that we are losing people out of the neighborhoods far faster than anybody is moving in. And so in my mind, our focus is we need to stabilize the neighborhoods we've got. We've got to deal with the abandoned buildings now and get people to move in and occupy the good buildings in the neighborhood when they first become abandoned, something I was doing successfully in the prosecutor's office. If we can stabilize our neighborhoods, we can reverse the population decline, because there are a lot of people who want to move into the downtown and midtown area.
It also helps, you know, getting sports teams. I know that you were instrumental in getting the teams to come down. What about the Pistons? Are they going to be coming down to Detroit?
I did share the Stadium Authority that built Comerica Park in Ford Field, and there's no doubt that the construction of those stadiums in downtown Detroit were a significant piece. But it would be great. The Pistons belong here, and, you know, they've got attendance issues sitting out there. And I think it's been a problem nationally when a team drops in its performance on the court, you are far better off to be in an urban area where there are other things to do. Because when you're out by yourself, you're fine if the team is a championship team, but the rest of the time, you're hurting. I think the Pistons are experiencing that now.
Yeah, well, it's one of the best things that happened, I think, is that the Lions obviously came back down. Mike, thanks for being on the show, and hopefully we'll see you here back on Clear Channel Radio, but hopefully those Pistons will do well.
Great talking to you, Scott.
Mike, talk to you later. Bye-bye. You know, one of the things that we talked about earlier is trying to make our kids safe. But then you look at Detroit, and, you know, we don't really talk enough about the safety of the community as opposed to simply we talk about violent crimes. There are so many crimes that happen in a community, whether it's in the suburbs or Detroit, that have nothing to do, quite frankly, with guns, with weapons. It has to do with keeping people safe from, you know, let's face it, individuals just like this Castro. That can happen anywhere. It can happen anywhere. The suburbs, it's basically having a neighborhood and a community that watches out for each other. And whether it's gun violence or whether it's drugs, it is a community that has to stay together. And, you know, hopefully Detroit can come back together, and it's a seemingly place that needs a lot of help, that's for sure. So hopefully Mike Duggan can Benny Napoleon can fight it out and figure out who's going to win. When we come back from Courtside Radio, we're going to talk about the dumbest crimes in America. And stay tuned. We'll be right back.
After Sergeant Matthew Kyle was injured in Iraq, his young wife Tracy faced the daunting task of getting their VA benefits.
There's a lot of red tape. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of forms to fill out.
For years, paralyzed veterans trained experts have helped injured veterans and their families. National Service Officer Bobby Hager explains.
We're able to fill out all of the forms and applications and ask for all of the benefits that that veteran's entitled to.
To help, visit pva.org.
All right, let me ask you a legal question. How many lawyers do you know? How many lawyers do you trust? When you get in trouble or don't know the answer to a legal question, who do you call? Well, now you have a network of lawyers you can call right now at 800-7100-LAW. Hi, I'm Scott Weinberg, host of Courtside Radio. Any legal question you have deserves an honest answer. A lawyer you can trust. Don't just settle for anything less. Whatever legal question, text the word ADVICE to 313131 or call 800-7100-LAW. If I can't answer the question, I'll make sure one of my lawyers will. Guaranteed. Text the word ADVICE to 313131 or call 800-7100-LAW. That number again is 800-7100-LAW or text ADVICE to 313131. Get the justice you deserve.
Some look up to the Man of Steel and others follow the lines in the web. But I look up to my real life icon, my dad. And calling him anything less than great will be misguided. In his warm arms, I confided all of my fears. And as my time to rear others grows near, I'm reminded that women marry men just like their fathers. And I hope that's true. Anything less, might as well not even bother.
A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative, the Ad Council, and this radio station. Visit fatherhood.org for more information. Have you been a dad today?
Let's rejoin the Courtside Radio Show with your host, Attorney Scott Weinberg.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking about the crazy crimes that people commit. There can't be anything, and I've represented a lot of people that do a lot of crazy things. But the Sacramento woman, did you read about this? Allegedly stopped smoking, and her plan was by assaulting a cop. Now, this is one of the stupidest women I've seen. I've heard about it. A woman's plan to stop smoking involved allegedly slapping the county deputy. He says that it came out of nowhere as the shift as he was getting off, and all of a sudden she stepped into me, slapped my face. He said, "What? Why would you do that?" She said, "I've been trying to quit smoking, and I need to go to jail where they don't let me smoke." Is that the stupidest thing you've heard? I've heard of people going to jail for food. I haven't heard them going to jail for to be able to stop smoking. But you know, we talked about this this local reporter that last week. What we talked about is, do celebrities get off in crimes? I mean, do celebrities and people you know that have influence, that have people in high places, are they able to stay out of jail? And here we have a local reporter, Kevin Dietz, is in the Oakland County Jail for violating what he called the super drunk driving law. And, you know, that is one of the toughest courts in this state, is that 48th District Court in Bloomfield, and they don't mess around. And here we got an individual that's in the paper that basically he's in the news all the time, and he drives drunk, or he gets a level of 0.17 or more, which in this state is super drunk driving. And, you know, there's many courts that don't necessarily take that kind of action, no matter what it is, on a first offense. But this court, they definitely have that kind of, that at least state of mind that they're being hard on people. But here's someone who's obviously in the news every day. We see him all the time. He's had investigative reports on Kwame and a range of different people, and he even gets put in jail. So maybe it is a little different in this state if you have an individual who is not just necessarily known, but in the paper about it, they're going to maybe make an example of you. He was arrested in Bloomfield Hills, longtime Channel 4 reporter, and of course he's going to lose his license for a while, and now he's doing time. But, you know, what I wonder is whether or not that's a situation where the individual wants to, you know, we talk about Lindsay Lohan, you talk about other people that basically have influence or because they're celebrities, Mel Gibson, you know, what did Kwame really feel was going to happen because he was famous and because he was a local celebrity and powerful? What do these people think in their minds? What are they thinking about when they are involved in the criminal justice system? Do they think that their celebrity or their influence is going to protect them? And I'm telling you right now, it always depends, and you might not believe it, let me tell you, but it always depends on the county and the prosecutor and the police you're dealing with. It is discretionary. It really is. Now, you can have individuals that will sit there and give it up. You know what I mean? They'll take responsibility for it. Like, that sounds like this Kevin Dietz did. He took responsibility. He didn't have a trial. You know, people don't realize when people, there are 95% of cases in criminal law, they're worked out. 90 to 95%, they are worked out. They are pled, or there are different things that happen to it short of trial. But it doesn't mean that that 10%, let's say, don't go to trial because they think they're going to win. You go to trial in this situation because you think you have a decent shot at winning, or because you don't have any other options. And sometimes, you know, celebrities will sit there and say, hey, my reputation is ruined anyway. I might as well have a trial. But you don't hear many of those trials in celebrities. I'm sure you have the O.J. Simpson, and you have, you know, Michael Tyson, and you have things that are famously covered. But the majority of celebrity crimes are pled. And because these celebrities are taking some kind of image hit, and they want to stop it. Someone, you'd say, they want to take responsibility. Maybe that's what this reporter did. But in general, they plea. It's because they are not risking going to trial. They're not risking the local community to be able to judge them in a jury and be able to be the, you know, jury of their peers, because in one way, they're not really their peers in their minds because they are celebrities and they feel that they are going to be held to a different standard. But in this case, this individual, he took responsibility. So whether he was intoxicated at the time, obviously he's agreeing that he was. He didn't put the city and the county through an expensive trial. He didn't try to go to trial, it sounds like, in this case, and he pled. And, you know, you got to at least give him some credence for that, and he's going to serve his time. But I can tell you that when you had this Castro guy, a guy in Cleveland, that there is not going to be a death penalty in that case. It's going to be life imprisonment in that case. Unless for some way they find some federal charge on him, I'm telling you right now, even then there's not going to be a death penalty situation. This is going to be a lifelong commitment to prison for this guy when he's convicted. And I promise you, this is going to happen. They can say, oh, he has his right to trial and all that stuff. This guy absolutely is going to end up pleading because he's not going to want to put this family through more, and that's going to be his excuse and try and lessen some kind of a situation in prison. I'll bet you this case does not go to trial. It will be a plea. The issue is, of course, there's not much to bargain with for him. I mean, there's no death penalty in this case. It's going to be basically life in prison, and he doesn't want to put everybody through it to drag his family through it anymore. And I'll bet you that's what happens in this case. It's going to be a plea. It might take a year, but it's going to be something like that. And whether or not they're going to have other family members charged, we're going to have to wait and see. Next week, we're going to cover other things in Veterans Court. We didn't get a chance to do that here today. Thank you for listening here at Courtside Radio. I'm your host, Scott Weinberg. Till next week, just protect your rights and make sure that you are always looking out for your neighbor. Take care.
Join us next week for the Courtside Radio Show with your host, Attorney Scott Weinberg.
Case dismissed.
Detroit's 1130 WDFN, an iHeartRadio station.